Well, hey, good morning again, you guys, and welcome back. It is good to be here with you, and I'm glad that you are here with me today. We have been, if you're not familiar with what's been going on here at COC, we are, what'd you say, Kirk, neck deep in wisdom? We're neck deep right now, and we are, whoa, it's gracing the earlobes, oh my goodness. All right, well, if your ears hang low, if they wobble to and fro, that might determine how much we have left of the series, and so please, 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 if you've missed any of the messages, be encouraged to check those out. But Kirk started us off talking a lot about Solomon, and now lately, he's been introducing kind of like the four characters, I guess, I'd call them character portrayals, where he's been talking about the simple, the fools, and the mockers, and don't forget about the wise. That would obviously be one of the key character portrayals in Proverbs as well. But I was thinking about that in my conversation with God this week as I was trying to figure out what I was going to try to bring to the table today. And I honestly had two sermons prepared for today. One in case Kirk finished wisdom, one in case he wasn't finished with wisdom. And so there's still a little bit more to go. And so I'm gonna pull up to the table here with a little bit talking about what I call wisdom seeks. Okay. If you remember a few weeks back, I did a message on wisdom walks. Okay. And so I want to focus on this seeking aspect. Wisdom walks was all about embracing the pace, the pathways of Jesus. And wisdom seeks is more so starting to steer the conversation towards, well, how do I get wisdom? Okay? Because as I've been listening to Kirk, especially as he was talking last week, questions have popped into my mind. Am I wise, right? And how do I become wise if I'm not? Or where can I find wisdom? Because I need it. Right? And so I'm hoping to start to scratch the surface just a little bit today with this. And so wisdom seeks, it's all about a relentless pursuit of the heart of God. And spoiler alert, that's how you get wisdom. You seek God. You seek God. You seek God. You seek God, and then you seek people who are also actively seeking God. Okay? Because we will oftentimes seek people who aren't necessarily actively seeking God, and they will give us bad advice. Okay? Bad advice, right? But they're people we're seeking. And we gotta get out of that habit, okay? And so I was thinking about this idea of wise, simple, fool, mocker, and as I was thinking of as Kirk was going through this, I was wondering, where do I fit in on this spectrum, right? Where do I fit in on this scale? And I'd love for you to be thinking about, where do you fit in on this scale? Are you wise? Are you simple? Are you a fool? Are you a mocker? But the reality is this, and Kirk hinted at this in his message last week, at any given moment, we can find ourselves anywhere on that spectrum. Kirk, if I was going to quote him, he said, you don't get to stay in one category for very long, okay? If you keep being simple, you become a fool. If you keep being a fool, you become a mocker. If you don't change from being a mocker, well, you never get wise. But a lot of times we think as soon as we've elevated to the pinnacle of wisdom, guess what? As soon as you think you're at the pinnacle of wisdom, you have suddenly become a mocker. Just as quick. And I'll try and show you that in scripture today. It's kind of my job to do that today, all right? And so this idea of wisdom seeks is that wisdom is always seeking wisdom. Wisdom is always seeking wisdom. It's not a once you've got it, boy, you've got it. It doesn't work that way with wisdom. Wisdom, it's kind of a paradox. If you've got it, you'll have to chew on this for a little bit, so chew on this. If you've got it, you realize you don't. Yeah. Let that settle for a second. If you've got wisdom, you realize you don't. What do I mean by that? It's that wisdom is recognizing there is a constant need for more wisdom. So when you've got it, you realize you don't. Because mockers, in their eyes, are wise. Mockers, in their eyes, are right. And as soon as I think I'm wise or I think I'm right, chances are I stop looking for people and God to speak into my life situations. And so I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful because as at any moment, I can be anywhere on that spectrum, okay? In fact, you could be all four places just over breakfast, right? And so we've got to make sure that wisdom is always seeking wisdom because there's this tension that you can't become wise in your own eyes, right? This is Proverbs 26:12, okay? And Solomon writes this, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for him," or for a fool, sorry, "than for him." Meaning, if you're wise in your own eyes, you have become a mocker based on the character portrayals that Kirk has laid out for us. And so I've got to be careful that in this pursuit of wisdom, I don't think I've got it. There's always room for more. There's always room for improvement when it comes to wisdom, because in order for you to hold wisdom in balance, maybe I'll speak it like this. In order for you to be able to hold wisdom in balance, you have to be humble and you have to be teachable, because as soon as you aren't humble and you aren't teachable, you are no longer wise. And so humility allows me to hold wisdom. There's this tension. There's this tension where I want to be wise. I want to be wise. But as soon as I think I'm wise and as soon as I go around thinking I am wise, I am in danger of sliding back into the den of mockers. And so I've got to make sure that I hold these things in tension, because I know this to be true for me. I am not an accurate judge of how wise I am. But God is. God is an accurate judge of how wise I am. So as soon as I think I'm being wise, I've got to be careful. I got to check myself before I wreck myself, right? Right? That's kind of slang, but I mean, that's the idea, right? I remember sitting over lunch in the cafeteria when I was in college, and I was eating lunch with some really good friends, and one of my friends was asking me for some advice, and so I was sharing my advice with him, right? Because I had wisdom over the conversation that we were engaging in. And a friend across the table, and I love him for this because I think about this statement often, and he said this to me. He goes, "You know, Stephen, you're pretty good at giving advice." I said, "Oh, thanks." And then he followed with, "I just wish you would take it sometimes." And I was like, oh, man. And I love him for that. I love him for that because I think about that often. I think about that often. It wasn't like, I mean, I could have blown up and just been like, you know, I don't know, freaked out on him or something like that. And he's not my friend anymore. You kind of think, no, he told me that because that's what I needed to hear in that moment, right? And that's how humility helps hold wisdom in tension, because otherwise it becomes pride. And pride doesn't smell like wisdom. It doesn't taste like wisdom. It doesn't look like wisdom, because it's not. But the world, Kirk would preach on this in James, the world would teach a different type of wisdom. The world's wisdom is all about pride and arrogance, okay? Heavenly wisdom is about humility and selflessness, right? And so that's in James chapter 4. Forgive me for the loss on the scripture reference there. So anyway, okay? So don't become wise in your own eyes, if I could shorten that up, right? I love this Proverbs. This is Proverbs 23:23. It says, "Buy the truth," buy, like purchase, buy, B-U-Y. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. This is actually kind of an echo of Proverbs 4, verse 7, which kind of talks about this same concept. But in my Bible, next to this Proverbs, I have the phrase, pay for it, with an exclamation point written by it. Because I remember a pastor one time preaching on this topic. He was talking about the difference between being a pro and a Joe, or being a professional and an amateur. And he said this. He said, a pro will pay for correction. A pro will pay for correction. If I want to get better at something, I'm going to pay. I'm going to go to conferences. I'm going to buy books. I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to watch videos. I'm going to learn how to get better at this. A pro will pay for correction, but an amateur will make you pay when you correct them. And when Kirk was talking about the mockers last week, I think you said this, Kirk, fools hate wisdom. Mockers hate you. I think that's how you said it. Where you try to give them advice, you know people like that. You give them advice and they hate you, they unfriend you, they give you the cold shoulder for the rest of your, you know, days or whatever until they get over it, until the next time, right? Like, pros pay for correction. Amateurs will make you pay for it, okay? And I could have been an amateur at that cafeteria table when that friend of mine, he was a friend of mine, Stephen, he's a friend of yours, he's a Christian, he seeks God. When that friend of mine said, Stephen, I just wish you were better at taking advice, I could have been an amateur in that moment and blown the whole thing up, including myself in the process, right? Okay? And I'd love to say that I was a pro about it the whole way through. It took me a little bit. But that's this idea of buy it, pay for it, because it is good. It is worth it, you guys. It is so worth it. And so I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture. I'd love for you, if you got this guy right here, your Bible, I'd love you to open to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about two guys. Well, actually, three. You got this guy, his name is Ahab. If you're not sure who Ahab is in Scripture, he was pretty much one of the worst kings in Israelite history. Now, this is after the split. The split being Israel and Judah are now two separate kingdoms. Okay, something happened actually right after Solomon. Right after Solomon, he had some boys that weren't really good about dividing up the kingdom well. And so we have this fractured kingdom now. And so we've got Israel kingdom to the north and Judah kingdom to the south. And Ahab is an amateur, okay? He is an amateur. And you're going to see it all throughout this. He is a Joe, okay? And so Ahab is one of these guys that he's going to make you pay for it if you try to correct him. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, he's a pro. He's going to be the guy who seeks wisdom and seeks guidance, all right? And so this passage picks up in 2 Chronicles 18. The context here is that Ahab, one of Israel's worst kings, is pursuing an alliance with Jehoshaphat, who is one of Judah's best kings, okay? So there's kind of a contrast here, all right? So hold on for it as I try to walk you through this, all right? And so I'm going to pick up here. This is verses 1 through 4. Now, Jehoshaphat had great wealth and honor, and he allied himself with Ahab by marriage. And some years later, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, okay? That's where the capital of Israel was in Samaria now. Jerusalem would have been the capital of Judah, okay? All right, 2 Chronicles, keep going here. Ahab slaughtered many sheep and cattle for him, being Jehoshaphat, because he's wanting to welcome this guy and the people with him, and urged him to attack Ramoth-Gilead. How many of you sometimes know when you're walking into a conversation when there's more to the story sometimes, when people are being nice to you? Sometimes people are being nice to you because they want something from you. We like to call that leverage, right? Don't be a mafia boss in your relationships with people. Don't leverage them, all right? Just ask them. Just ask them, right? So he slaughters all these sheep and all these cattle, and he's trying to get Jehoshaphat to go attack Ramoth Gilead, okay? Ahab, king of Israel, asked Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? Now, again, keep in mind, Ahab is a Joe. Jehoshaphat's a pro, and Jehoshaphat replied, I am as you are, and my people are as your people are. And what Jehoshaphat's trying to say is, hey, man, we're basically the same. We're basically blood relatives, and now we definitely are blood relatives through this marriage agreement. So yes, yes, if you're asking of me, yes, I will do that, but, Jehoshaphat also said this caveat to the king of Israel, First, seek the counsel of God. First, seek the counsel of the Lord is how Jehoshaphat responds, okay? And here's the deal. This is the truth for you and I. Ahab was looking for an ally. So many times when we are frustrated with situations, circumstances that we are facing, friendships, relationships, whatever, more often than not, we land in Joeville with Ahab. No offense, Joe. Buddy, you are a pro man. What am I doing this morning? I am so sorry. I got to change the whole vernacular of my message now. Just kidding. Joe knows he's a pro. But don't be wise in your own eyes, buddy boy. Ahab was looking for an ally, and so oftentimes we are looking for allies. We need people to gather around us because this is so bad and they're so bad and what they said was so bad. And so we go on Facebook or we go on social media or we go to the coffee shop or wherever we go, and all we're doing is we're looking for allies, looking for people to align with my cause. You gotta stop looking for allies. You don't need allies. You need advice. Jehoshaphat is looking for advice. Ahab schmoozes him. Has this big, huge sacrifice, has this big old meal. Hey, buddy, old boy, why don't you come with me? We're going to go pick a fight with Ramoth Gilead. It's going to be fun. And Jehoshaphat's like, well, it does sound fun. I like war. I like shooting stuff, blowing stuff up. But we should maybe seek God first. Because maybe, just maybe, something's not right. And I'd love to assume that Jehoshaphat maybe had just a little check in his spirit here. And we'll see that play out a little bit further into the passage here. Jehoshaphat's looking for advice, and that's what you need. You need advice when you so desperately are looking for an ally. Okay? You need advice. You need advice in those moments. Look for advice. Look for wisdom. The last thing you need in a battle is an ally that isn't God Almighty himself. Just saying. The last thing you need in a battle is an ally who isn't God. You need advice. And so Jehoshaphat's looking for advice, right? So Ahab, right, the king of Israel, brought together the prophets. 400! Woo! That's a lot of allies that old Ahab has gathered around him at this point in his life, right? 400 men, and asked them, hey, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I refrain? But you got to know something about Ahab. He's got a history. When a prophet gives him a word that he doesn't like, you know what he does? Do you know what he does, Jim? He kills them. And so he surrounded himself with a whole bunch of yes men. Yep, sure. Sure. A lot of simple folks, right? And so what are these guys gonna do? I don't wanna die. Go, for God will give it into the king's hand. Do it. Because if he dies in battle, then we don't have to deal with him anymore. Those are some of the people you've allied yourself with. People who are ready to pounce on you at the moment's notice, right? Because of how he's done relationships and how we do relationships sometimes surrounds us with allies that we don't need, and we miss out on the advice that we desperately do need. Go, they said, for God will give it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat asked, hold on. Check in his spirit again, right? Ahab, I know you got 400 of these guys that are all going, yes, yes, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Is there not a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of? He realizes in this moment that these are just a bunch of yes men yuppies that Ahab has allied himself with. And so Jehoshaphat, I mean, his life is on the line right now. And so he's got to be thinking, wait a second, is there not a prophet of the Lord? A prophet, a prophet. I love this. Ahab was looking for in this moment confirmation. You got to understand, Ahab's just going through the motions. And sometimes you and I, when we ask for advice, we're just going through the motions. We don't really want the advice. We're just asking because it's the polite thing to do. It's the thing we're supposed to do. And it's the thing that, you know, if somebody says, well, didn't you get any advice? Well, yeah, I said something to so-and-so and they seemed to think it was like a good idea. And so, well, maybe they were just worried that you were going to blow the whole thing up, including your relationship. And so they become a yes man yuppie that you don't need when you really need advice. And so here, sorry, I'm getting wound up as I'm spinning around in circles here. All right, perfect. Ahab was looking for confirmation. 400 yes men, of course, sir. Yes, go into victory. For God has given you the victory in your hand. But Jehoshaphat, he ain't buying it. Jehoshaphat was looking for information, or sometimes I'll say it like this. A lot of times we look in the Bible for confirmation of our weird thoughts and our weird ideas instead of looking for transformation. Because that's what the Bible is supposed to do. It's not supposed to confirm. It's supposed to transform. And oftentimes, that's what we look for. We look for, well, what's God? Well, I don't like he said that. Okay, well, I bet there's... Didn't David say something about bathing his feet in the blood of enemies? Where's that passage at right now? Oh, there it is, right? Okay, perfect. I'll do that. I'll bathe my feet in the blood of my enemies. Right? We're looking for confirmation to storm on out in our self-righteous triumph. And God is saying, wait, 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 wait. Transformation. Look for transformation. And so Jehoshaphat, again, he's a pro. He's a pro. He's looking for information that can lead towards transformation. Oh. And I wonder, what was Jehoshaphat sensing, right? Because, again, he keeps, it's just like, Everything seems like it's a good idea, but there's just something that's not right. And I would encourage you in your life to lean into that. Lean into that, because so often we find ourselves leaning on our allies and leaning on the things that confirm my feelings instead of leaning into the things that challenge and transform me to be who God actually created me to be. And so I've got to make sure that I start to lean into that. And so Ahab's like, okay, yeah, all right. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, well, there is still, say it with me, one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord. And why is there only one? Because Ahab has chased off or killed all who oppose him. And sometimes we do that in our relationships, don't we? Where we chase off or kill those who oppose us. Maybe not in deed, but maybe sometimes in words. And we got to be careful to hear that we don't go blowing up bridges, okay? And so here we go. So there's one. There's one man. One man. One man, right? But I hate him, right? Because he's... not a professional here. Ahab is an amateur. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. Boo-hoo, buddy boy. Boo-hoo. Maybe it's because your life is not right. Maybe because your life is not good that you aren't getting good prophecies, right? I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah, the king of Jehoshaphat's. As he's sitting here like, really? That's what you just said? I hate him because he never has anything good to say. Look at Jehoshaphat. You shouldn't say that. I love how he addresses him, though. The king should not say that. Your identity and your authority contradict the words that are coming out of your mouth right now. Okay? And so your character is not in line with the authority that has been given to you, Ahab. A king should not think that way. A king should not speak that way. And I love that Jehoshaphat is bringing it right to him, right? And I got to think, Ahab must be a little afraid of Jehoshaphat, because what else is holding him back from blowing this up too, right? Oh, but he needs him. He needs him for his little adventure off to Ramoth-Gilead. And sometimes we'll put up with you. Sometimes we'll put up with you until we get what we want from you. And then we will leave you and ditch you and forsake you just like everybody else, okay? And we got to be careful that that's not how we handle relationships, right? And again, we've already talked about this, right? Why only one? Because this is the history of Ahab, right? And I got to thinking about this. I asked myself this question as I was reading through this, right? What's the track record of the people who tend to disagree with me? You know, think about people in your life who have challenged you in a good way, challenged you to see transformation in your life. What's the track record of their life? What's the character of their life? And then think about the people that have always agreed with you. And what's the character of their life like? And maybe start to juxtapose those a little bit. Well, these guys always agree with me, but I don't like the character of their life. And these guys always disagree with me, but they have good character and I see good fruit in their life. And maybe just start to evaluate the track record there. Because maybe, just maybe, you've got a bunch of yes men yuppies hanging around you, all right? Whoops. There we go. Continuing on. So this is verses 14 through 15. When he arrived, the king asked him. So I jumped down. Sorry, I didn't tell you that. I jumped down. A few verses. So pick up in verse 14. When he arrived, talking about Micaiah, right? The guy who the king hates because he always says bad things about me. He asked him, Micaiah, but you got to understand, Ahab, he's just going through the motions here. He doesn't care what Micaiah's going to say. He's just going through, all right, Micaiah, let's have it, right? Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or shall I refrain, right? That he's just going through the motions. He's just going through the motions like he did with his yes men yuppies. And I love Micaiah. Micaiah, you can almost see him saying this with a smile on his face. Yes, attack and be victorious, O Ahab, he answered, for they will be given into your hand. What is Micaiah doing here? He knows what Ahab wants to hear. He knows what Ahab wants to hear. And when you surround yourself with allies, they know what you want to hear. That's why you're an ally. Okay? And so he knows what Ahab wants to hear. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it. Attack and be victorious. Why not? See what happens. Let's try that. See what happens, right? Okay? He tells him what he wants to hear. Now, look at Ahab, though. He knows something's off. But if he knows something's off, he knows something's off inside of him. Because look how he responds to Micaiah. The king said to him, how many times must I make you swear to tell me nothing but the, key phrase there, the truth in the name of the Lord. Ahab knows what's true. Of course he knows what's true. But so often when we are on our high horse going down the road on the thing that we want to do, we've made up our mind what we're going to do, and we don't care who tells us otherwise, especially God. And here he is. He knows the truth. He knows he's doing wrong here. He knows that something is off inside. But it's in those moments where we don't want correction, folks. We don't want it. And so that's why we oftentimes we don't ask, or we ask the wrong people, because we've pushed all the right people out of our lives. And so we go looking for new allies. We often already know when we are not acting according to God's will. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, you guys, who has been poured out on all. We often know when we are not acting in accordance to God's will, which is why we often don't ask, or we choose to ask the wrong people in our lives, right? Again, examine the track record of the people who tend to disagree with you. Take a look at the character of their lives and look and see if maybe, just maybe, you've been seeking confirmation rather than transformation all along. All right, let's finish this passage out. Then Micaiah answered with what God actually told him. I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. That's key, so we'll pay attention to that in just a second. And the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. What is Micaiah alluding to here? Ahab's death, Linda. You got it. He's telling him, if you do this, buddy, as much as I don't like you, this is going to lead to your death. This is going to lead to your death. Now, you know, Jim, if I knew something was going to lead to your death, would you like it if I told you? Probably, right? Jim's getting ready to do a big 40-mile bike ride, and I realize that his tire is really loose on the back of his bike. I might stop him and say, hey, Jim, that tire is a little bit loose on your bike. I might stop him. I might warn him. And that's exactly what Micaiah is doing here. He is warning him, but Ahab can't see the advice. Or he sees it, but to him it's an assault. And sometimes we view advice as an assault, especially when it doesn't agree with what I've already said in my heart I'm going to do. And so Ahab sees this advice as an assault, and Micaiah is just trying to help him out. You're going to die, man. You are going to die. If you go through with this, you are going to die. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, see, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you? He never says anything good about me, right? Only bad. And Jehoshaphat's just got to be like, man, what is your problem? He just told you you're going to die. That is bad, yes. But it's also good for you to hear that, right? Ahab takes offense instead of taking heed. And so oftentimes in our lives when it comes to advice, our first inclination is to take offense rather than taking heed, paying attention to what's being spoken to me or what's being spoken over me. See, Micaiah warns Ahab that this battle is going to lead to his death. But instead of seeing it as advice, Ahab sees it as an assault, because Ahab is driven by emotion. Okay? But all this time, Jehoshaphat has been driven by devotion. And I would love for you to assess your life, and I got to do the same thing. Is my life driven more by emotion or devotion? Because one of those is going to lead to death, and the other is going to lead to life. And poor Ahab is driven by his emotions. This is Proverbs 15:32. He who ignores discipline, key phrase there, despises himself. But whoever heeds correction gains understanding. That's why I wanted to start with that conversation about pros versus amateurs, right? How a pro pays for correction and amateur makes you pay, right? Because if you are ignoring discipline, if you are ignoring wisdom, the real truth, The real truth is that secretly, deep down inside, you have an issue with you. You really do. It's why we take offense. Anytime you get offended, the root of all offense, all right, ready for some truth 101 today? The root of all offense, every single offense in history, from the beginning of time to the end of time, the root of all offense is insecurity. If you are insecure, you become offended. It's straightforward. If you're not insecure, you're very hard to offend. But it's this idea that you need to, as a Christian, your goal is to become unoffendable. Unoffendable, meaning you got to shore yourself up in the identity that God has created with you and for you so that when somebody assaults you, and people will assault you. I'm not being naive here. I promise you, people are going to assault you, but you get to choose whether or not you get offended by it. And that's the rub here for Ahab. But because he's insecure, which is why he's surrounded himself with yes men, which is why he finds himself leaning on his allies more than God, which is why he seeks confirmation and not transformation, which is why he seeks allies over advice, is because deep down Ahab knows he is a crummy king. Why? Because he knows deep down he is not walking according to God's will for his life. And that is the rub right there, folks. He realizes he is not walking according to God's will, which comes as an affront to his God-given identity, which is a huge assault to his God-given authority as king over Israel. And so now he's so insecure, and so he is going to despise that correction, but deep down he despises himself in this, right? And so what's the conclusion? Well, Micaiah, guess what happens to him? He gets slapped across the face, right? For saying what he just said. He gets slapped across the face. Ahab puts Micaiah in prison. Ahab goes into battle in disguise. Think about that for a second. Why would he disguise himself? Oh, I think deep down he thought maybe Micaiah was right. And so he goes into disguise and gets shot by a random arrow and dies. Right? And that is... This is the story. I've finished with this verse, Luke 7:35, right? Okay? Wisdom is proved right by all, say all her children, okay? Wisdom is proved right by all her children. This is a Jesus speak right here. This is Jesus talking here. He was talking about, he was addressing a crowd over their issues with John the Baptist. And he finishes this big speech with this statement, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. What Jesus is saying in a nutshell, and I know I've preached this verse before, is the proof is in the fruit, folks. The proof is in the fruit. If you want to know if you've been acting in wisdom, the proof is going to be in the fruit. Was Micaiah right or was Ahab right? Were the 400 guys right or was Jehoshaphat right? Right? The proof is in the fruit of what is produced in our lives. And oftentimes, we don't want to see it. We don't want to see it because we knew it was the wrong choice all along. But if I just ignore it, if I just pretend that that didn't happen, then it means that everything's okay. Crucify your insecurity, walk in your identity, and realize that you need to look on the fruit in your life in order to be an accurate judge of how wise you are or aren't, okay? Wisdom is always seeking wisdom because wisdom is always seeking God, okay? Wisdom is always seeking God, but you got to be careful here. It's not a once you've done it, you're done with it sort of thing, right? It's a paradox. If you do it right, you'll do it forever. If you do it right, you're going to do it forever. A lot of times we don't think that way. We think if you do something right, you don't have to do it again, right? No. Wisdom is always seeking God. So if you're doing it right, you're doing it forever kind of thing. So how do you resist, right? That's a big question in my mind, right? How do you resist becoming simple? How do you resist becoming a fool? How do you resist becoming a mocker? You seek wisdom. Well, that doesn't explain everything, Stephen. How do you seek wisdom, right? You seek and keep seeking God. That's what we've got to do in our lives, folks. We've got to seek and keep seeking God. It's not a once you've done it, you've got it. Because if you've got it, you realize you don't. And it's not a once you've done it, you're done with it sort of thing. If you do it right, you'll do it forever. I'll leave you with this passage. This is 1 Chronicles 22:19, and it's just the first beginning of this. This is when Solomon is getting ready to transition into kingship. This is before Kirk preached from 1 Chronicles 28:9, where David is talking to Solomon. He's addressing him. This is even before that. Even before that, David is talking to Solomon here, and he says, "Now devote your heart." Devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Because David had to know, and Solomon needed this advice from his dad, that Solomon, someday you're going to become wise. But as soon as you start thinking you're wise, that's when trouble is going to start to creep in. That's when your heart is going to start to turn. And so I need you, son. I need you. I need you to devote your heart and soul to seeking the Lord your God. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but all the days of your life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen, you guys. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Father, that you've made wisdom available because you've made yourself available. And so, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we would learn to lean into you. Father, that we would stop looking for allies, that we would start looking for advice, that we'd stop looking for confirmation, but we would actively seek out transformation. And Lord, I thank you that as we seek you, you promise us in your word that you will be found. And so, Jesus, I pray this week, as we go about our lives and go about our days, that we would actively seek you in every aspect, in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.